Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
What is going on with U.S. and Russian policy in Syria? A U.S. airstrike mistakenly hit Syrian forces while targeting ISIS over the weekend. The U.S. was quick to come out and admit it was an accident, but Russian leaders seized on the opportunity to suggest that the U.S. was working in the interest of ISIS and called for an emergency security meeting at the Security Council at the United Nations on Saturday night. There was plenty of rhetoric exchanged over all of this on both sides, all of it bitter. Kimberly Martin is a professor of political science at Barnard College and Columbia University. First of all, I thought the Syrian government was the enemy of the United States and that we wanted to see Bashar al-Assad removed from power. Why are we apologizing for a hit on government forces?
Oh, John, it's complicated. We have not said that the Syrian government is the enemy. We have not been targeting the Syrian government. We have been targeting the Islamic State. And there's a question about whether that target list is going to expand now with this potential cooperation with Russia. But I think it's important to keep in mind that there's so many complex players involved in Syria. It's not just a U.S.-Russia deal. And that, in fact, there is some evidence that the strike was carried out accidentally, not by the U.S. itself, but by a member of the U.S. coalition, namely Australia. So we don't yet know the details.
And Australia has denied that it was motivated to attack Russian-sponsored surrogates in Syria. So there's all kinds of confusion from the Australian angle here. Can the U.S. in a confused place as Syria sort out the difference between al-Nusra and ISIS and the government forces and still maintain a relationship that could produce a ceasefire in Syria?
I think a lot of people are doubting that at this point the ceasefire that was worked out is going to hold. Just to give some backstory for what happened in the United Nations Security Council, on Friday there was supposed to be a meeting of the UN Security Council to talk about this U.S.-Russia agreement, and Russia canceled the meeting at the last minute because the United States didn't want to go public about all the details of the U.S.-Russian cooperation. So we have to keep in mind that that is the backstory of what happened over the weekend when there was the anger over Russia now calling the UN Security Council meeting and blaming the United States and saying that it actually supported the Islamic State.
So the U.S. and Russia working together, the U.S. does not want that to be known. The government forces in Syria are tight with the Russians, and the Russians don't want them attacked. The ceasefire has been declared clinically dead by the Turks, who are moving tanks across the border into Syria. Where does the ceasefire stand at this point?
Well, I don't think it's that the U.S. doesn't want to know the arrangement, the existence of the arrangement to be known. That's been made public. It just didn't want the details about the targeting to be known. And apparently Russia wanted to release more details that the United States wanted to keep at a classified level. So that was that issue. But keep in mind that something else happened over the weekend, too, which is that there was the parliamentary election that happened in Russia. And the results seem to be that, you know, big surprise, Putin's party got 75% of the vote. We know political scientists have a technical term for getting 75% of the vote, which is ridiculous. That was not a free and fair election. And so it would not be surprising to me if the statements about how actually the U.S. is supporting the Islamic State in Syria were designed for a domestic audience to try to further Putin's message that the U.S. is out to get Russia and that only by keeping him in power can Russia reestablish its strength as a great power.
But even though all you brilliant political scientists up there at Barnard and in the academies here in the United States can call it a ridiculous election, isn't it true to say that on the ground in Russia there is a strong consensus that legislatures and democratic institutions are not preferred to the simple sort of autocratic cult leadership of Vladimir Putin right now, that they feel security comes from him more than it comes from the squabbling at lower levels?
Well, I think the evidence indicates that intellectuals and people who tend to really be following world events on their own probably did not vote in the Russian election. Mm. The participation rate was, you know, not any higher than what we see in U.S. elections. And so, yes, I think you're right that of the people who did vote, Putin's base tend to be people in rural areas who are workers and pensioners. And yes, I think they do like the idea of having a strong czar in place. Not surprisingly, what we just learned this morning is that following this 75% vote, two different Russian press sources reported that it looks like the centralized KGB is being established again in Moscow before the 2018 presidential election that's coming up. They've changed the name. It'll be a ministry, an MGB of state security, rather than the KGB, the Committee of State Security. But we're going back to the way things used to be, and maybe even stronger.
The good old days in Russia. Finally, before we go, you said that the details of targeting was, those details were what the U.S. did not want known. Is it possible that this mistake here was a mistake of communication between the U.S. that's supposed to notify the Russians over what it's attacking in Syria as part of this strange and difficult to maintain targeting arrangement?
Well, I think the communication problem could also be on the other side. We don't have enough information to know, but it could be that Russia did not make clear exactly where they had information about the Syrian forces versus the Islamic State sources. Certainly, there is a breakdown of communication, and I think there's a lot of distrust on both sides, especially within the Pentagon, that is not happy about the arrangement from what we know.
And Secretary of State John Kerry is not having a good day today. It's fair to say.
Yes, it's not a good day for U.S.-Russia cooperation today.
Kimberly Martin is a professor of political science at Barnard College and Columbia University. And by the way, a very somber-sounding Secretary of State Kerry called the Syrian ceasefire fragile but holding, while the Syrian government said today it was over.